Welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to get practical guidance for not only surviving, but thriving with the cosmic tides. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to your weekly astrological weather. My name is Amanda Poole Walsh. I am the founder of Astrology Hub and the host of this show, and I am so excited to be here with all of you. Thank you for tuning in this week to your weekly weather, and I'm very, very thrilled to be introducing you to intuitive astrologer Jamie Goldstein, SSP, which I just learned stands for Specialist in School Psychology, which is probably a whole topic for another episode. But this is Jamie's debut on the Astrology Hub podcast. And Jamie, we're so grateful that you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I love Astrology Hub, so I'm excited to be here.
I want to introduce Jamie just a little bit. Jamie is an astrologer who intimately connects with the living sky and earth. She's studied with Gary Caton and Gemini Brett, two astrologers that we have featured at Astrology Hub quite a bit. And she believes that astrology is an embodied practice. She seeks to inspire others to learn astrology through their experience of the living sky and their own heart wisdom. She specializes in intuitive and archetypal astrology and is one of the upcoming astrologers on our new reading platform, Astrologer Connect. Okay, Jamie, let's dive into the weather. If you had to give us a theme for the week, what would you say this week's theme is?
Loving ourselves back into wholeness.
Okay. Loving ourselves back into wholeness. Tell us a little bit about that and why you chose that as the theme.
Yeah. So this is a really powerful week of heart alchemy, where the emotional waters of our unconscious are very likely to get stirred up this week. And there's a lot of activations with Pluto this week, with Chiron this week. But to me, the really big transit of the week is the Libra Venus star point, the first one in our lifetime. So in over 100 years, Venus, our heart essence, is traveling behind the sun. So she's in her underworld journey of her 19-month Venus cycle. And it's this week, October 22nd, when Venus is aligning in the heart of the sun. And in this phase of Venus's cycle, this is where we are dying to who we are not. And the invitation is to reintegrate and love all those authentic aspects of ourselves that we got some messaging that was wrong. So we dismissed, we disowned, denied, rejected the authentic aspects of ourselves. And when Venus is in the underworld, we reclaim those. We love ourselves back into wholeness. And then as Venus meets the sun, this is the resurrection moment. This is where we're being reborn into more of our heart essence, the truth of who we are. So, and all the like really really activating transits of this week with Pluto and Chiron that are going to pull things up from our unconscious, I think it's perfect. It's just going right into that cauldron within our hearts. There's an invitation for heart alchemy, and where we can, you know, rise up into more into loving ourselves with more wholeness. And of course, we're whole in every moment, but we often forget our wholeness. So this is an invitation to remember.
Jamie, I know you do a lot of work with the Venus star points. And so if someone's, I think that I was actually born when Venus was right in the sun, a similar moment on my birthday. If people want to learn more about the Venus cycle and what each phase means, it's fascinating for those of you who are newer to that idea. But Venus makes this very beautiful orbit through the sky that actually creates this gorgeous flower. I mean, there's so much symbolism. But if people want to learn more about this, how would they do that?
Yeah. You know, studying, I know two astrologers that have been on Astrology Hub, Kaylin Costell and Sheridan Simple and Tammy Bronk. They're very, you know, pioneers with Venus alchemy in this area, who are ceremonially working with the Venus cycle. So such a great resource.
Yeah. Okay. And when you say heart alchemy, don't want to take it for granted that people know what that means. What do you mean by heart alchemy?
Yeah. So to me, the heart alchemy is when we may have some challenging emotions may actually very likely come up this week. I mean, I do think there's probably moments of the like emotional intensity scale this week that could be probably not the whole week, but moments that could peak up to a 7, 8, or 9 on the emotional intensity as Pluto stirs up our unconscious. As these things are coming up from our unconscious, perhaps it's grief, perhaps it's anger, you know, anxiety, fear. If we can allow our heart to hold space, essentially to like the temple of our heart, hold this container for whatever's arising from our unconscious, if we can hold it there within our heart, there's this really powerful energy of alchemy. Because what often happens, you know, when we have these big triggers, these big activations, it can be so easy to project out to, you know, if there's maybe someone in our life to, you know, you did this, and we want to project out the blame onto others. But I really believe anything that's happening this week that's triggered by someone externally, they're just divine players who are here helping us point to there's something within our unconscious that's seeking healing in this moment. And whatever's coming up is one of my best friends, who's a somatic healer, a trauma expert, Diane Gribben of Heartwood Healing Arts. She says our triggers are our trailheads to treasures. So this week, our triggers are our trailheads to treasures. And if we can allow our heart to hold that space and not project out, if we can safely be with our experience and let those emotional waves move through, I see a really powerful invitation for really powerful transformation, and also to honor ourselves, because there may be times where it is too much to hold space for all the emotional intensity that's coming up, and there's nothing wrong. That's actually okay. Sometimes we have to titrate, just go into the emotional experience and come out. And there is some Neptunian activation, trining activation to Neptune this week, which actually supports when you need to take a moment, dip into the spirit realms, meditate, nourish yourself. So we don't need to have shame or anything if we feel like we can't just be with it at all moments here.
I love this. Triggers are trailhead to treasures. It's such a Pluto statement.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it's like those pains and those things that are brought up, those, if we go into them, if we allow them to teach us and show us that there are buried treasures to uncover. Okay. So let's go into some of these things that you talked about specifically.
Yeah. So this week we're going to have Venus and the Sun squaring Pluto. That will be Wednesday of this week. And this happens twice a year, where Venus and the Sun will square Pluto, typically twice a year. And unless Venus is retrograde at that time, but that's not the case this year. And when Venus and the Sun, they're in Libra this time around. So there's a lot here around relationships that could get triggered. And there's a lot of powerful alchemy around transformation with how we're relating to ourselves and how we can relate to others based on how we're relating to ourselves. Because the big energy right now is the Libra Aries access, this whole space between the Aries full moon that we had in Chiron, which, you know, was over a week ago at this point, but it's still rippling and it's leading us right into that Scorpio solar eclipse. So all the Aries Libra access is a relationship access, Aries relationship with self, Libra relationship with others. And so there's a lot here that Pluto is likely going to stir up around, are we safe to show up as our authentic selves in our relationships? There's a lot that's probably going to get stirred up in the realm of relationships here that's seeking alchemy and transformation. So ultimately we can, meet relationships in a more empowered way. But when you're talking about Pluto and Libra, things are certainly going to be through that square, relationship triggers.
Okay. All right. So and you mentioned about the intensity scale. You said that we could be going up from to a 7, 8, or 9 emotionally. What would you give us for the overall week?
You know, I mean, we've got Saturn stationing direct, which is one of the big things this week as well. That Saturn's energy is going to get really turned up as well. So, you know, I really feel the energy of the week, I would say about a 7, honestly. There's just so much happening this week. Okay. And it's leading right into that Scorpio solar eclipse the following week. So we're feeling 7 or 8. We're going to feel all that bubbling kind of energy leading into that eclipse.
Mm. Okay. All right, Jamie, let's go through the days.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. So we start this week on Monday, October 17th, and we start with the moon in Cancer. And actually on Monday, we have this, what's called a cardinal grand cross formation. We have the moon in Cancer. So the moon in Cancer, we're going to feel very deeply. We may feel a lot more emotionally sensitive. We may feel more inward, much more of a retreat kind of energy, wanting to just slow down and stay home. So we have the moon in Cancer, and the moon is actually on Monday going to make an opposition to Pluto in Capricorn. So this is really also, this is like leading up to that Venus Sun square to Pluto. On Monday, we're going to have big things from our unconscious come up as the moon is opposite Pluto. And very interestingly, this is the first time the moon is opposing Pluto with Pluto out of retrograde. Pluto just stationed out of retrograde here very recently. So when planets come out of retrograde, especially the outer planets, like we're talking Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto's this case, they're working on greater evolutionary themes. So every time Pluto's coming out of retrograde now, Pluto went retrograde in April, is coming out of retrograde. We're still in this energy of reflecting on, okay, what was a big thing within our psyche that came up to our conscious awareness for healing, for integration over this Pluto, retrograde. And sometimes we don't know really what the theme was until at the end of the retrograde when the planet stations direct, because we're in it while the planet's in retrograde. So now as the moon's coming to oppose Pluto, I think we may get another reactivation of what within our unconscious was seeking healing, this Pluto retrograde.
Like, what's the time frame of that Pluto retrograde where this theme, we've been working on this theme?
Yeah, it was April to just now in October.
Okay.
So end of April to October. And when the planets go direct, we integrate. So now that Pluto's direct, we're going to get to integrate whatever was coming up from our psyche. So as the moon opposes Pluto, we have some big activations here. And then also the moon this day on Monday is squaring the sun and Venus as well in Libra. And so there could be something, and I'll just kind of start with the day by day. It's making a grand cross with the sun. So moon in Cancer, Pluto in Capricorn, sun and Venus in Libra, and then they're opposing Aries and Aries. So there's a lot here that's going to get stirred up from our unconscious on the moon's day today while the moon is in Cancer. So we start off at 7:14 a.m. Pacific. All my timing will be Pacific. The moon at 22 Cancer squares Venus. And this may actually start our day off with feeling moon in Cancer squaring Venus in Libra. What I'm just really sensing, there could be certainly something relationship oriented that could be emotionally triggering perhaps. But what I'm really sensing is there may be something within a relationship where we're feeling like we're being asked to give something that we don't feel emotionally resourced to give, like someone needing our support that we just don't feel. And I've actually had to start practicing this in my own life, telling people when they're wanting, most of us that are listening are probably empaths, like I am, very empathic. And a lot of people reach out to me personally, just like friends for support. And I hold a lot of space professionally for people. So I really can't always hold space in a personal way. And I've gotten really good lately at telling people for the first time in my life ever, I just don't have the emotional resources right now to hold space. And that's huge for me. So I'm sensing something like that may happen. Somebody may be asking for our support that we feel, oh my gosh, I actually don't feel resourced enough for myself. And this is an invitation to fill our own cup up first before we are giving to others. So we're not giving to others from an empty cup, because then we get resentful and bitter and those kinds of things.
I want to ask you a question about that, because that's actually really challenging to do, especially if you really care about the person and they're in distress and you really want to be available. How have you managed the kind of aftermath of making a statement like that? So when you say, I'm not emotionally resourced to help you right now, I know for myself, that would just bring a wave of like, oh God, but I probably should. And oh no. And then I feel, yeah. You know, I feel awful about it. So how do you handle that? Like,
And I feel all of that because I'm like so sensitive. I always say, and right when I can, I'm gonna reach back out to you. So that's probably an important part too.
Yes. Okay, great. Yes. I can see that, like, just not wanting to leave them hanging completely, but also knowing like you're just not capable of supporting them in the way that you'd want to be available in that particular moment. So that's great. So then you say, but I will let you know when I have filled my cup and I'm available and I can be there for you in the way that you deserve, really.
Right? Yeah, I'm glad you added that part because I do try to add that part. And one way to really check in, because if you're so used to, I like call myself, I'm a recovering people pleaser. If you're so used to always attuning to others, abandoning your own needs, the way I check in is, how does my nervous system feel? How does my body feel when someone's asking for support? If I feel like contracted and like, oh my gosh, I feel like I might have a nervous breakdown. That's when, because usually I push past it and hold space anyways. That's my, I need to resource myself first. And I've really found, I've actually had several people, my own friends tell me, they're like, wow, that's actually so freeing to hear you say that, because I always overgive when I don't have anything to give. And they're like, it's actually giving me permission to honor my needs too.
Yes. You're modeling something for people. I also think about, you know, I never want to be a burden on anyone. Yeah. And I would never want someone to overgive for me in a way that like hurt them. Yeah. So you're also giving them the chance to say, oh, okay, I love you too. And I don't want you to hurt yourself in order to hurt me, you know, to help me. So yeah, I can see it just being very liberating all around. Love it. Thank you. Okay. Were you going into Tuesday, right?
Yeah. So now as we go into Tuesday, October 18th, this first part of the week, we're going to feel a lot from our emotional waters stirred up. And probably it's going to be relationships that are probably kind of triggering these things. But what's really exciting about Tuesday is this is the day that Venus moves within 1 degree of the sun. Anytime a planet is within 1 degrees of the sun, this is a magical moment for all things Venus. And it's leading up to Saturday. That's when Venus will exactly conjunct the sun. But there's all this beautiful Venus energy. So Venus, our heart essence, love, romance, you know, relationships. There's just so much here, so much beauty. And Venus is the beauty way. She's our being essence. So this is a really beautiful time as Venus is coming within 1 degree of the sun. The rest of the week, slow down, just be. There is going to be some emotional waves coming up, but there's magic here. And it's actually this beautiful transformative energy. So now Wednesday, October 19th, this is a lot happening. So we start off the day really early in the morning, 12:56 a.m. The moon at 13 Leo squares the lunar nodes at 13 degrees north node Taurus, south node Scorpio. This is very significant because we're right about to go into eclipse season, and we have eclipses because of the lunar nodes. Eclipses are very faded karmic times. And when a planet squares the lunar nodes, we're at kind of a crossroads between the past and future. Are we going to move back towards our past, or are we going to move towards our future? And so now that the moon's squaring the lunar nodes, this is the last part of the lunation cycle. We're being asked to release something and to, so we can open up the space to move towards our future, whatever wants to come in here. And then at 1:05 a.m., the moon at 13 Leo trines Chiron retrograde at 13 Aries. So this is very significant because the full moon was with Chiron. And what's intuitively coming to me is this wants to reveal what blocks to self-love need to be released that came to the surface with the Aries full moon with Chiron, because the moon's in Leo. Leo is all about self-love. The moon's trining Chiron. It's this harmonious energy. So this is a really powerful energy to come into self-love, which is the energy, the theme of the week. At 6:33 a.m., the sun at 26 Libra squares Pluto at 26 Capricorn. So this is just going to bring up something from our unconscious. There's going to be something perhaps about our identity, you know, our self-identity, ego, perception of self, that's wanting shedding, that's wanting transformation here, releasing kind of like a false way we've been viewing ourselves, maybe not from our authentic self, but from our conditioning. So at 10:59 a.m., the moon at 18 Leo is opposite Saturn retrograde at 18 Aquarius. Again, this is where we're here to take responsibility for our own emotional experience, let others take responsibility for their own. And taking responsibility, Saturn, the planet of responsibility, the moon in Leo, taking responsibility for our self-love. And it may feel like someone externally is saying, moon opposite Saturn can feel like someone saying, you're not enough or you're not good enough. And this is where we claim our own authority and we hold ourselves with the deepest self, the deepest self-love. So any oppositional energy from someone that it feels like they're telling us we're not enough, we can know it's an invitation to turn inward and really hold ourselves with deeper love here.
When you talk about self-love, I'm just remembering, like, I'm putting myself 10 years ago and people would talk about things like self-love and it would be like, what do you mean? Like, what does that even mean? Self-love? Like, what does that look like? How does that operate? How do I do that? So what would you say? What is self-love to you? How does it move? You know, what does it look like and feel like?
So I love this question. What is self-love? And I feel like I'm not going to have the perfect linear words here, but I'm going to try my best. And I'm a Leo rising. So really learning about self-love and self-mastering self-love in this lifetime is one of my big initiations. So I'll just speak to what does it mean for me and some practical ways that I can drop into that space. So for me, self-love is when I can really drop into my heart space and connect with my essence. And remembering my essence that is not at all defined by this Jamie identity and all the qualities of this Jamie identity and this lifetime, my essence that is not at all defined by what I'm achieving and accomplishing and how good I'm doing it. And this lifetime, my essence that is not at all defined by my perceived mistakes and failures and this lifetime, our essence really transcends all of that. And also at the same time, holding the self-compassion for all these aspects of our self-identity and ourselves in this lifetime too. And for me, self-love is really remembering that, you know, we're here on this earth school and we're here on this journey to learn and grow and expand and come into greater awareness, among many other things, like here to share our gifts and bring and share love and all of these different things. But just remembering that this human journey is really messy and it's not a linear path, right? It's a spiral as we're going through these journeys. And so that we're not going to get it perfect in every moment. We're going to have perceived failures, perceived mistakes. We're going to have these moments where we feel like we didn't do something right or we were out of integrity, and that's okay. This is all part of the learning journey. So holding ourselves with self-compassion and understanding. And at the same time, you know, I also, we're talking about Saturn opposite moon here, or moon opposite Saturn here. And one of the ways I look at Saturn, one of the archetypal ways, aspects of Saturn can be like the wise, loving grandmother. So also, you know, there's a self-responsibility to love. Saturn is a planet of self-responsibility. So to be self-reflective and to be able to acknowledge without going into shame or blame or judgment, to acknowledge where were we out of integrity? Maybe where were we out of alignment? Maybe where is there room to grow? And having that self-reflection and that self-reflection on how can we come into alignment? How can we come into integrity? How can we grow? And the key is to the self-mastery is, and the learning, the area we're learning and growth is, how can we do that without going into all this shame and blame and making ourselves wrong and reminding ourselves, right? Because a lot of the time when we're feeling like maybe disconnected from self-love, we can be up in the mind with a lot of automatic negative self-talk. And remembering that our thoughts are not who we are, and our thoughts are not always true. And we don't even have to make our self-talk wrong if it's like that automatic, you know, really harsh, critical, negative self-talk. Because sometimes when we're trying to make that wrong, that's actually moving out of self-love. So we don't have to make anything that's coming up with our self-talk wrong. And for me, the way to come back into self-love is just to come into my heart space. So I literally just bring my hand to my heart. That's my easiest way for me to come into my heart space and just guide my attention down into my heart. And anytime the automatic, you know, negative self-talk or the spiraling or wanting to make myself wrong and judge myself and blame myself comes up, to just notice, not making it wrong, just letting it be so and guiding my attention back to my heart and just dropping below the thoughts and coming back to my heart again and again. And that can take a lot of practice to, you know, be able to drop below the thoughts and to come into the heart space and allowing the heart to hold it all. And sometimes I even visualize, you know, the beautiful temple of my heart, this beautiful sacred space, and to have a meditation or a visualization where I'm entering the space can be really profound. And sometimes very practically too, self-love can be just asking ourselves, what do we need? And really connecting in with our higher guidance, or you could say your heart space, your body wisdom. There's a lot of ways you could connect to this. What do I need? You know, maybe it's my nervous system feels dysregulated right now. So maybe I need to go outside and have my bare feet on the earth to co-regulate with the earth, to rest my back against a tree or lay down flat on the earth, to allow that beautiful ionization, you know, with the earth and my body to co-regulate and balance. Maybe I need a glass of water or a cup of tea. Maybe I need some compassionate touch, just, you know, like hugging myself, or if I have someone else, another loved one, to go and receive a hug from them, or if you have a pet, to go love up and snuggle on your dog or your cat, or call a friend. So that can be really powerful too, in a really practical way. What do I need now? What do I need now? And like we said here, sometimes it is too much to be in the full intensity of it all if it's overwhelming our nervous system. So maybe we need a little break here, and then we can come back to it later. And that's okay too. There's so much that's that, you know, likelihood of things coming up Wednesday. And there's really beautiful heart alchemy here. So after the moon meets Saturn, we have at 6:23 p.m. Mercury, right? So our mind, thought, communication opposes Chiron retrograde in Aries. So Mercury's out of the retrograde, post-retrograde shadow now, but there may be some integration from what was going on during Mercury retrograde, you know, September 9th or October 2nd, you could go a few weeks before for the pre-retrograde shadow. What was coming up with relationships? Where did you have new perspective, seeing things with new light? Where, you know, what alchemy did you have on your way of thinking and relationships as well? And as Mercury opposes Chiron, this could bring up some wound that's been triggered from the context of relationships, how we're viewing ourselves through the lens of other relationships. So there's some really powerful opportunity for healing, for new perspective, maybe new perspective around our stories, around our wounds. There's a lot of alchemy here on fresh perspective, new ways of thinking and new ways of perceiving things. And then we have the moon at, let's see, 9:09 p.m., the moon at 23 Leo, is opposite Vesta at 23 Aquarius. So this is just a really powerful opportunity to be devoted and committed to self-love. I just love that this is today, because there's so much, I think, that's coming up from our unconscious today, a lot that's getting stirred up. So being devoted to self-love, I think, could be really powerful. And then we have at 11:02 p.m., and the energy is here really all day, Venus square Pluto. So this could bring up a lot around self-worth, especially self-worth that's triggered through our context of relationships, the relationship triggering self-worth. There's some really beautiful opportunity to come back into our heart and remember our worth, remember our value. That is not at all defined by how others are thinking about us or perceiving. That's not defined by a certain relationship. there's something really powerful here. Some alchemy that's coming up around self-worth and healing some wounds to self-worth. And this is really significant because Venus is coming to the halfway point in her 19-month cycle as she meets the sun in Libra on Saturday. And her cycle started in Capricorn in January when she met the sun and rose as morning star. And she made three conjunctions to Pluto pre-retrograde, during the retrograde, and post-retrograde. So this is a really powerful Venus cycle for transformation here. So as we're moving into Thursday, there's not as much happening. So I think it's very much a day of integration. After all these big things on Wednesday, there may be still some like ripples of integration here at 3:55 a.m., the moon at 27 Leo, sextiles the sun at 27 Libra, right? So sextiles are, there's a nice flowing energy, but this is the, you know, the moon here is at the waning crescent moon. So we're kind of coming to the final release of this lunation cycle. I'm really going to start feeling the building energy of the Scorpio solar eclipse at 2 Scorpio that's happening here, the following week here. And then at 9:25 a.m., the moon moves into Virgo. So now the moon's moving out of, you know, playful Leo, although the energy may have not felt very playful a lot of the time here as we've had these more intense transits, but the moon's moving from playful Leo into Virgo. And Virgo wants to be, you know, productive and get things accomplished and to organize, to take care of our bodies, to, you know, tend to eating well, and whether we need movement or yoga or dance or whatever it is. But I really love this because we're moving so close to the Venus star point, and Virgo is a sign of sacred ceremony. So it's a really beautiful opportunity to kind of move into a ceremonial space, however that is for you. It could be just remembering the sacredness of the moment, going through the day, like with that level of sacredness, like blessing your food, blessing your water, remembering that everything's sacred, every moment's this moment for like ceremony, like lighting a candle, just as you're doing your things about your house, if that resonates for you, and just having that like sacred space, you know, that can be something really, really powerful here. So, and then also this day, Mars moves to 25 Gemini. This is really significant because this is the degree where Mars will station retrograde on October 30th. So we're really getting into that stationing energy. And this whole week, and this whole time, Mars is stationing retrograde really through the rest of October. And moving into November, Mars is square Neptune. So as Mars is square Neptune, we may actually, Mars in Gemini squaring Neptune and Pisces, we are more likely to want to kind of react. And we can be distracted, right? So something this week, there could be a lot coming up from our unconscious. And then it's like, whatever first thing catches our attention, we may want to be like, that's a problem, or blame something on that person, and just kind of like move our energy out in scattered ways. So there's something really powerful to kind of be mindful to like draw our energy back to us, because we're probably not going to get anywhere if we're just like very impulsively like projecting and scattering our energy out. And it may actually not even be clear as Mars is squaring Neptune why we're acting the way we are. And with this big Neptune activations, things are not as they seem. So like even what's coming up, the external thing that's triggering us, we may think it's about that. But, you know, of course, everything's always pointing to a deeper wound. And so if we're getting distracted on that one thing, you know, and like this Gemini energy kind of scattering our energy all over the place, we could actually just really exhaust ourselves. If we can come into that stillness, really, this is a week, if possible, come into stillness, turn inward. There's a really powerful opportunity here. So Friday at 3:35 a.m., the moon is conjunct Ceres at 9 degrees of Virgo. So this is a good day to really just check in. What do you need for nourishment, for nurturance, for self-care? Could be, this is moon in Virgo, right? Could be eating healthy, things that are nurturing and nourishing for your body that feel good for you. Maybe there's movement, yoga, Qigong, right? Virgo is very much about how are we moving our energy through our bodies here. To really just check in with that self-care can be really powerful. So now we're moving to Saturday, October 22nd. Now, this is a big day. I'm really excited about this day. This is the Venus star point, and this is Saturn stationing direct, which are the two big energies of the week. At 9:27 a.m., the moon at 25 Virgo squares Mars at 25 Gemini. So we really want to be mindful, again, of how we are exerting our energy today. And this is, I think, another day to slow down and be more in a ceremonial space, because as the moon squares Virgo, or the moon squares Mars, you know, there could be some like tension, the moon wanting to get it right and perfect and do the to-do list, and Mars in this really slowing down, stationing energy in Gemini, maybe you feel like, wait, we can't do all those to-dos on our to-do list, but this is really not the day to do the to-dos on our to-do list. It's a really beautiful day to drop into this really beautiful, very first of our lifetimes for most of us, you know, Venus Libra star point. So at 2:17 p.m., this is the big one. This is the Libra Venus star point. So Venus is traveling behind the sun, and she's aligning with the heart of the sun. And a really beautiful way to connect in with this energy, you know, one beautiful ceremonial way to meet it and a practical way is to go outside if you can. If it's nighttime where you're at, the energy's, I mean, she went to 1 degree within the sun, I believe, on Tuesday. So anytime this week, go outside and feel Venus in the light of the sun, like, because she's like this, her light is infused within the sunlight. Even though she's on the other side of the sun, you can know she's behind the sun. So feel that beautiful sunlight, like entering your skin, entering your energy field, knowing that Venus is behind the sun. If it's cloudy, you know, just using your intention, you can visualize it. That's a really powerful way, just to go out and feel that sunlight and feel Venus behind the sun. She's the farthest away she gets from Earth. So there's something here too that's really powerful about going inward. Venus is in her underworld journey, which is this deeply internal inward time. And, you know, Venus represents, she's our heart essence. So she's our like delicious being nature, that our sensual embodied experience of life. She's all the things that are related to our heart. So our values and what we value, particularly our self-worth and our self-value. Venus does connect to self-love. She is attunement and bonding and connection. So she has that relationship with our relationship with self and relationship with others, and how we can harmonize and attune and connect with others, which is also why she's connected to romance and love and all of these things as well. And so to bring this into context with the Venus cycle, we're starting in the Capricorn Venus cycle that started in January of this year when Venus met the sun. She was between the earth and sun. She was retrograde. She met the sun in Capricorn. So this is the Capricorn cycle. So there are these like Capricornian themes. So some of the themes of this grander 19-month Capricorn cycle are really creating new structures from our heart, coming into alignment with our heart, living within integrity with our hearts. And there's also so much here about coming into right relationship with the earth, living in alignment with nature's principles. There's a lot here about connecting in with, right, Venus, the sacred feminine way of manifesting. We've lived in this, you know, world, this society where we've had a lot of conditioning around creating through, you know, hard work and effort and all those things, work and effort, you know, Saturn things and Mars things are great, but a lot of us are out of balance. This is about creating from our being nature, letting any action flow from our being nature. And this is also about creating the template for the new earth, the new way of sacred relating of the new earth, and how to create this culture of compassion and care. So now for the very first Libra star point in our lifetime, Venus is meeting the sun in Libra. This is really seeding a new relationship paradigm, something new in a way, a new way of relating is wanting to come into your life. So something to look at is what house is 29 Libra in your astrology chart. Something new is being seeded in this area of your life. And this is the part of rebirthing. So as Venus started her cycle, she rose really high up really quickly around the equinox, she started to fall. So we've been in this, you know, connects in with the myth of Inanna. The morning star Venus cycle is about surrendering and releasing everything that is not authentic to our heart essence. So we're surrendering and releasing distortions, things around conditioning, distortions and inversions that have kept us disconnected from our truth. We're just surrendering and releasing and shedding all these things about identity we've taken on that's not us. And so we're going kind of emptied into the underworld. And this is where we come turn inward, right? The theme for this week, loving ourselves back to wholeness. And Venus went into the underworld, you know, near the end of September, and she'll be there through December. This is where we've surrendered and released so much of who we're not. Now we get to love ourselves back into wholeness, love all those authentic aspects of ourself that we've surrendered, denied, pushed away, right? And we get to really like claim our being nature and the magic of our being nature. And now as Venus meets the sun, this is a moment of resurrection, of being reborn into more of our heart essence, more of who we are authentically are. And then as Venus rises as evening star in December, we'll get to embody and reclaim more and more of what we're being reborn into. So it's this really powerful resurrection time. And it can just be a beautiful time, maybe before going into the Venus star point. I would do it before for the timing. I wouldn't do it at the moment of the Venus star point, me personally, but maybe reflect on what have you surrendered, released since, January of this year. And maybe you write it down, all the, you know, perhaps layers you've been shedding off, and you can burn it, right? Find out if there's a safe way for you to burn it. You can burn it off on a piece of paper before going into this. Then there can just be something really powerful. Maybe you just light a candle at the moment of the Venus star point to just connect in with your inner light, because this is about finding our inner light within and bringing it out. And a big part of this, you know, Venus cycle, I think, as well, is remembering the magic of our being nature, our being, just being in our essence, who we are. This is our magic. And that is the greatest gift we can offer to the world, is just being in our essence. And so, oh my gosh, there's so much I could share here, but I think that is pretty good here. So Saturn stations direct at 18 degrees of Aquarius. This is huge because Venus's cycle started in Capricorn. Saturn's the ruling planet of Capricorn. So Venus and Saturn are like allies. And as Saturn is stationing direct, you know, the planets when they station direct, they get really loud. We hear their voices very loud. And there's this energy of self-reflection. So we can integrate whatever came through with a Saturn retrograde. Saturn went retrograde in June of this year. So what big learning lessons have you had since June of this year? And particularly, you want to look at what house was Saturn in your astrology chart, because that's going to be where Saturn, when Saturn goes retrograde, we have self-responsibility checks, integrity checks, right? There can be learning lessons. There can be karmic things around that area of our life. And Saturn retrogrades are about going inward and creating, you know, restructuring our lives from the inside out. What structures in our life need to be restructured? What big things around self-responsibility and integrity and karmic things have come up since June? And now we'll get to integrate them and move forward. And now, you know, essentially manifest, since we've been creating from the inside out, Saturn is about manifestation, getting to now experience those structures, starting to kind of implement them in our external world and moving forward with whatever kind of karmic learning lessons we've had an opportunity to self-master while Saturn was retrograde. So, and then Saturn stationing direct, you know, it could feel like sometimes it can feel like there's like there's limitations, roadblocks, things getting in our way, right? The first, when we were recording this video, like the electricity just went out. And that reminds me, you know, Saturn and Uranus are in a square right now. And as Saturn is going direct, this is going to finally move out of that Saturn Uranus square. So there's been this energy of this energy of the old versus the new, and Saturn square Uranus, there's this really powerful breakthrough, break free energy of Uranus being the great awakener, the great liberator. So there's this really powerful breakthrough, break free energy wanting to emerge. We may actually not see what it is yet, but we'll be having this big opportunity for a breakthrough, break free as Saturn starts to move forward here. Our last day of the week here, we have Venus and the Sun both ingress Scorpio. Venus at 12:51 a.m. and the Sun at 3:55 a.m. So now we're going from, we've had all this Libra energy of relationship kind of energy. Now we're going to the depths of the Scorpionic waters, which is all about Libra. We get to know the sacred other, right? And Scorpio, we really come into deep intimacy and trust with the sacred other. So, and within ourselves, of course. So there's a lot here, you know, from our emotional waters that are going to be kind of coming up the Scorpio season as we're moving into the solar eclipse here. A lot of powerful energy, a really powerful karmic clearing, a lot of energy of transformation and alchemy and connecting more and more with our power from a place of love. This is a lot of, I think, what's being alchemized here with the South Node in Scorpio, where on a collective level, on a personal level, what is our relationship to power? Is it Are we empowered? Are we disempowered? And it's claiming our power and then utilizing our power from our heart space, right? From a place of love, as opposed to unconsciously or manipulatively. So here's the energy of the week. It's been such a pleasure to be here with you. And I'm so grateful to connect here.
Well, thank you, Jamie, so much for an incredible overview of the week. I feel like we really have a lot of great content to work with. And we did have a very Uranian moment during the recording of this podcast episode, and Jamie completely lost power. So she was able to actually add on the rest of the week. We stopped during Wednesday. And so I only have notes through Wednesday. So I think what I'll do today is just give a little summary of the overarching themes so that you get reminded of what those are. And then also we'll make sure that there is a summary of every single day in the Insider. So sign up for the Insider if you are not already signed up. It's astrologyhub.com/insider. And that's a great place to get all the summary for the whole week. Okay, so the theme for the week is loving ourselves into wholeness. And this is an amazing opportunity to focus on heart alchemy. And by heart alchemy, Jamie's talking about taking all the different emotions that may be coming up, probably in the realm of relationship, which is definitely on highlight, and sitting with them, like letting them actually move in you. And in that process of allowing them to move in you, they actually can transform into something really powerful. So allowing yourself the space to do that, allowing yourself the compassion to do that, allowing yourself the opportunity to do that. And like I was saying at the beginning of the episode, one of the ways I have found that I don't do that is when I try to distract myself out of it, which sometimes is just necessary, but other times it's kind of robbing myself of the opportunity of the full experience of that emotion, because right underneath it is always treasure. There's gold, there's jewels. And I love what Michael Beckwith says, one of my favorite spiritual teachers. He always says, you have to feel it to heal it. So in order to actually heal some of these things, we have to allow ourselves to feel them. So it sounds like lots of great opportunity to do that this week. We're having this opportunity to have a little bit of a resurrection moment, to die to who we no longer are. There could be a lot of challenging moments, Jamie brought up. And this other great quote, triggers are the trailheads to our treasures. Relationships are highlighted. And we also have Saturn stationing this week. So we have a lot of Pluto energy, a lot of Chiron energy. We also have this Venus Libra star point right conjunct the sun. So lots of powerful, potent energy and lots of transformative opportunities. So just want to thank all of you so much for being here, for sharing this space with us every single week, for coming together and tuning into the weekly weather, tuning into the overarching energies that you're able to work with in your life. Hopefully it helps you navigate your life in a way that feels more fulfilling, more purposeful, and more clear. And I want to thank Jamie for showing up, for doing such an incredible job with the weekly weather, for riding the wave of adversity that came in the middle of our recording and still showing up and giving us the rest of the weather for the week. I also wanted to let you know that our wait list for our 2023 forecast event is now open. So this is an annual event. I think this is probably like the seventh year we've done it. And this is the time where we go through the entire year ahead and explore the biggest themes and the biggest transits that are going to be happening the year ahead. It's going to be happening in December, but the waitlist is open now. So you can go to astrologyhub.com/2023 forecast. This event is totally free. You can join us or you can join the waitlist and be one of the first to know when we're open. And we can't wait to have you as a part of that event. We'll be featuring many different astrologers, many different perspectives, many different voices to go through the weather for 2023. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much for being a part of our community. And thank you, as always, for making astrology a part of your life. We'll catch you on the next episode. Are you looking for personalized guidance? Do you have questions about what you're meant to do and be in this lifetime? What you need in intimate relationships to really thrive? or what major themes you'll be working with in the months to come? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you'll want to check out our personalized character and destiny and year ahead reports. These reports are perfect for you if you want professional insight into your astrology chart or year ahead. Written by internationally renowned astrologer, Adrian Ross Duncan. Your character and destiny report provides deep insight into who you are and what you came here to do, your biggest strengths and challenges, and how your astrological design impacts your career and relationships. The Essential Year Ahead report gives you insights into the major themes you'll be exploring in your career, your love life, personal development, and much more. For only $37, you can get your personalized astrology report delivered straight to your inbox within minutes. Just go to astrologyhub.com/reports to get yours today. That's astrologyhub.com/reports. This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.